Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Afternoon, and welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. I am Six Eyes. Welcome one, welcome all, our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries, our faithful listeners. Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Hope everybody's having a beautiful afternoon. All right. Hello to the cast. How's everybody doing this afternoon?
I am doing amazing. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening. This is Queen Nye.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Who else we got with us?
Missionary Ken.
I'm doing okay.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, let's get our mentals out the way. My mental is two thumbs up and trumpet two paws up. I will be enjoying coffee and donuts during the show. Amen. Thank you.
We also got Sister Emily and Ian today with me.
Welcome. Welcome, Ruthie. Welcome, Ian. Welcome, Emily.
Amen.
Big girl.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll put it this way. My mental's one up, one down.
Aw. Well, I hope by the end of the show you have two thumbs up, Sister Emily. We're going to be praying for you.
I will phone you after the show to tell you why I said that, okay?
Okay.
Amen. All right. Well, let us have our opening prayer. Everybody gave their thumbs up.
Not quite.
Who else?
You gave your thumbs up, but I wanted to give mine. I have two thumbs up, two toes up. My crown is sitting just right on my head. And Baby Diamond has four paws up. She's happy.
All right.
She had catnip. Yeah. All right.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Trumpet is definitely happy zooming around here. So, amen.
And I've got right. Two thumbs up.
All right.
And Ian, your mic's open, buddy, if you want to speak.
Hello.
How you doing? Hey, how's it going,
I'm
sir?
Good.
All right. Welcome to the show. How's your mental? Thumbs up, thumbs down. How you doing?
So far, thumbs up.
All right, there you go. Have you started school yet?
Yeah, I started the 23rd.
How's it been going?
Slow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, young man, I am truly happy that you joined the show with us today and look forward to hearing more of the things that you're accomplishing. We definitely support you and we definitely appreciate you. And, again, anything we can do to assist in your efforts, please let us know because we will do our best to help you in any way. I'm very, very proud of you and I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
All right.
So much that I was interrupted in mid-sentence. So there you go.
I'm so sorry. My apologies.
So school has started back. Okay. Now, when I was growing up, and this is some years ago, so now I understand if you don't have a Chromebook, you have some kind of computer. So do you have a computer that you're using in school?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is it Apple or is it Android? I mean, what type of computer is it?
I actually don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Okay. But that's how you do your homework on the computer now?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we had to carry around books in a book bag, so you guys got it good. All you got to do is keep it charged up. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Keep up the good work. And what would that put you in, ninth grade? Ninth grade, 10th grade, what grade?
Seventh.
Oh, seventh? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you are doing it. Seventh, man, you are doing it, buddy. To have the foresight that you have at 13, seventh grade, man, sky's the limit for you. Sky's the limit. That's very impressive. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. America's proud of you. All right. With that, I'm complete.
Okay. Are we ready for the opening prayer?
We're ready. I just said I was complete.
Okay. Well, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day, and in you we have another way. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that Ian can join us today. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch him, Lord Jesus, in all that he does. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you'd just bless his work, Lord Jesus, bless him at school, Lord Jesus, so that he can, Lord Jesus, be better to serve you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask also, Lord Jesus, for that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then we ask you, Lord Jesus, to just take the wheel of this here program, Lord Jesus. Have your perfect will and your perfect way, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing. And do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with someone lost someone due to COVID-19 or any other disorder, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, that you just touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with some sort of illness or disorder, whether COVID-19 or any other disorder, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch and comfort them and heal them with your capability through your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch us, Lord Jesus. Boy, do we need to be touched, Lord Jesus, because we need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, who is you. And Lord Jesus, if we do this, we ask you to touch us now in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. All right, now we're going to get into our scripture reading,
amen,
done by Sister Emily. And so just grab your Bibles and read along.
This is Psalm 30, verses 1 through 12. I will exalt thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cry unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave and hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, for his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I shall give thanks unto thee forever. And this was Psalm 30, verses 1 through 12. And may God add a rich blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful reading. For the enjoyment of the show, put yourselves on mute to not hear any unwanted background noises. We thank you from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. All right. Okay, if somebody mutes my mic one more time. For the enjoyment of the show, make sure you have your mics muted so we won't have any unwanted background noises. Thank you. Amen. All right, are you all ready to dance? Boogie.
Let's go.
All right. Ruthie said let's go, so she might sit you down today, Wolfgang, so let's go.
Let's boogie.
Amen. Here we go.
I'm gonna make it.
Just getting started. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Oh. Of the yellow I'm gonna Thank you.
Amen. Before the pastor arrives, we have a presentation that we're going to do. So if the pastor could give us a couple of minutes, that would be great. Has he arrived?
Amen.
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 Pastor Bonnet is here.
All right. How you doing, sir? We have a presentation to do.
I'm doing wonderful and amazing.
Amen. Amen.
And thankful.
Well, we have a presentation to do. And then we'll get with our very powerful message from our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. All right. Take it away, Wolfgang.
Okay. Unmute yourself, Ian.
I'm unmuted.
Okay. You can hear us there, guys?
We can hear you. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Well, not this last week, but the week before, we all took up a donation for Ian because of the great work he was doing here in Ashtabula. And because of him being 13 years old, we explained that last time, so we won't get into all that. But everybody took up a donation to help this young man. And today we want to make the presentation of that donation. So, Ian, here you go. This is the donation that was collected by the Six Eyes Radio Network, and we hope that you can use it for yourself, which already he's already put – got some use for that money, Six. He's having me build him a hitch for the back of his bike so he could pull a small trailer. So he's already got a use for it, and he has me going to do the work. So, Ian, we hope you can make good use of that donation. If you got a few comments, Ian, there you go.
Thanks, guys. It's probably going to help me with my business now, other than trying to pull the wagon and push my mower at the exact same time. So I'd just like to thank you. Thanks to everyone that donated.
Well, you are very welcome, young man. You're very welcome. Like I said, we're very proud of you.
You're welcome, and we are honored to do something for you.
Yes, yes. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Make sure you do something nice for yourself. Amen. 13 years old. God's the limit for that young man. All right. Well, without further ado, I want to introduce to you our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, bringing you a powerful message here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. So I bring to you Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Welcome, sir.
Amen. Thank you very much. I do feel welcome. Thank you for all of you for including me into this wonderful pet family. Amen. I feel just as privileged as the spirit of adoption, whereby I can cry Abba Father to the Lord. I'm thanking him for wonderful brothers and sisters like you all individually. And I thank God for each one of you in your respective places. And truly, again, it is an honor to be on this platform here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, here on the Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. So I've left the house, gone to two services, and now I'm back at the house and still getting my praise on because God is good. And I thank him for this opportunity just to be in your midst today. This is the month of September. It brings a very special, 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 special month for me because it is the month of my birthday. Now, I don't have to tell you what the day is because I celebrate ever since I turned 50. Since I've been, I'm over 50, I celebrate the whole month. So September is my birthday. all 30 days. September is my birthday. My actual birthday is on the 26th, and I'm thanking God just for allowing me to make it thus far. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. I chose to do that. Amen. This month, this monthly emphasis we're going to be dealing with education this month. Education. But for the theme, we want to use the phrase, wisdom is the principal thing. Now, off the bat, there's so many scriptures that deal with wisdom, but we have to tie education into it. And so, and all that that means entails. So this month, I'm excited for what God will be revealing to me to share. Amen. As he gives me each week what to write down, what to share with you all on this platform and even on Motivational Monday. And so I'm excited because I was already encouraged thus far already to even take my studies to the next level of studying. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I am a student of the Word of God. I don't claim to be a scholar or any of those things. I am simply a servant of the Most High God, a son by the spirit of adoption, and a student. And I encourage others to be students of the Word of God. You may not can afford a two-year intuition, a six-month course, or even a four-year intuition, but no cost, zero cost to pick up the Bible and begin to read it from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. And enjoy what you read. Dig into what you're reading. And when you have the opportunity to gather the other resources that goes along with it, grab them too and add it to your knowledge. Why? Because Jesus said, we are the light of the world, and we're not to be hid. And so wherever God have you, obey the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Wherever we're going, it is our job, it is our obligation to be that example of righteousness, to share in the wisdom and knowledge of righteousness, in the hope that someone will hear and see and receive salvation for their oneself. And who knows, you may help a family be redeemed, not just an individual, but a whole family. A whole generation, all because of our faithfulness and our commitment to doing what God has commanded us to do. So, when I began to think about what to share, and even after he's given me what to share, so many things I done added to, and so I'm going to ask for forgiveness now because I know me. I enjoy sharing, and because I enjoy sharing, that means I'm going to run out of time in sharing today. So, therefore, I apologize now. I apologize now, but I am going to do my very best to share with you what I have, and hopefully what I share will encourage you to dig into your Bibles, to get on your knees and pray, to fast, to meditate on the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into so many things that is available for you as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You say, I'm a citizen of this country, that country. Now, if you are born again, if you are saved, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And the benefit of those citizenship
of that citizenship, excuse me, the benefit of that citizenship, that, and you need, I need, we need to know what is available for us. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And so we're going to jump into some things. Have y'all ever heard, and I'm quite sure many has, again, wisdom is the principal thing. Have you ever heard of the Serenity Prayer? Many people have. Oftentimes, people have quoted it to some degree. We have gotten into it. But I realized that the Serenity Prayer that we often see on keychains, little index cards for the bookmarker cards, is only part of that particular prayer. I want to read to us the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer says, God, grant me the serenity. Now, in a moment, I'm going to define. Matter of fact, I just do that right now. Let me define the word serenity, because we need to be on the same page as we identify that term. Serenity is the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. Once again, serenity in its simplest term is the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. Well, we all know and can agree that we live in a world that is not so very calm, not so very peaceful, and full of trouble. So how is it I can attain serenity? How is it? How can I come about that? Once again, the Serenity Prayer, which is prayer's petition, it is I'm petitioning God to give me a calmness, a peacefulness, and to help me stay trouble-free. Well, the Bible has told us, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's trouble. So, Lord, how am I to navigate that understanding? Well, the Serenity Prayer kind of give us in a direction there. It said, God, grant me the serenity, to accept, A-C-C-E-P-T. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Wow. Sometimes we are afraid of change. Sometimes we are in need of change and we want change. But Lord, I need to understand and to accept what I cannot change. Because if I'm sitting here with an eraser trying to erase something that was written in a permanent ink marker, I'm wasting my time burning up the eraser trying to erase something that is not designed to be erased. There's a lot of things we want to change in our world, but they are not changeable. Keep going, preacher. So give me the serenity to the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things I can. You need courage a lot of times because sometimes we stand
in against things that have been accepted by others, but we know they're not good. We know that they have to change if things are to get better. So many times I need courage because sometimes I stand stars alone. So I need courage. Can you imagine Noah as he was building the ark, as he was obeying God? He probably started out with that assignment all by himself. We don't know whether or not his wife was on board with him, whether or not his three sons was on board with him and their wives. So he had to have courage to stand all by him oneself. I know it's his. All by himself. Okay? So the courage to change the things I can. And catch this part. The wisdom to know. That knowing is understanding. That's knowledge and information. The difference. The difference in knowing good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. I need the wisdom to know the difference. Knowledge is information, but wisdom is application. And for the most part, we stop there with the serenity prayer. But how many of us know prayer is actually, there's more to it? So let me continue to read. Matter of fact, I start over and read it in its entirety. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, taking this world as it is and not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right. If I surrender to your will so that I may be responsible, so that I may be reasonable, happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Wow. And that is the serenity prayer. That is to be in a state, of calmness, peacefulness, and untroubled. And to be untroubled. Wow. Well, Brother Preacher, all of that was good and wonderful. But how do I reach that state? I reach that state by understanding God is a God of purpose. Step number one. What? Well, I say it again. God is a God of purpose. That's right. I'm going to say it one more time for clarity and understanding. How do I arrive to that clarity, to that calmness, to that peacefulness, to that trouble-free? Is to understand that God is a God of purpose. That's number one. Number two is to understand that everything that was created with a purpose. Everything that is created was created with purpose. Even the wrong. We'll come back to that. Number three is not every purpose is known, though. Not every purpose is known. We know God said for everything under the heaven there is a time and a season, so that established purpose. And sometimes the real trouble is understanding our timing and what season. Amen. What season are we in? Because there are certain things, and because I have a lawn service, there are certain things that I can tell customers that they can plant at the end of fall just before the first freeze. And you were like, well, you mean to tell me you're going to tell them to plant certain plants before the first freeze? You're not going to wait till springtime after the last freeze had ended before you start planting? If you plant certain plants before the first freeze, won't that kill the seed? No. But that's because you have to understand the type of seed that's sown. And so in life, we have to understand there's seasons of our life that are meant to be done now. And then there are certain seasons in our life that we have to wait. Amen. So not every purpose is known right away. So sometimes we even have to know when to ask for help, when to seek out the right resources of information. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. It's bound to happen. If you don't understand the purpose of a thing, it is very possible for you to abuse a thing. I remember years ago, when you used to be able to work on cars because they were simpler. But many times to work on these cars, you had to have what's called a flathead screwdriver. Well, what happened when you didn't have that flathead screwdriver and all that you had was the Phillips head? But it wouldn't fit, so you couldn't turn what needed been turned. You couldn't tighten or loosen what needed to be tightened because you didn't have the right tool. Then granddaddy or whomever was working on the vehicle would say, go into that kitchen and get me a butter knife. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all don't. And granddaddy would say, go in there and get me a butter knife. We ain't finna eat. Well, where ain't we trying to see? Now, I need the butter knife. Why? Because the butter knife had an edge to it that symbolized the flathead screwdriver. But the problem is, if what was trying to be tightened or loosened was done in a harsh way, it would bend the tip of that butter knife. It would put a nick in that butter knife. And now if it was a set, Lord have mercy. Grandmama later on come in there, who been messing with my utensils? Because now you done damaged something because you used it just because you could. Just because it could do a thing. It was abused because it wasn't designed for working on the automobile. But you used it for it. And many times in life, we are caught in that situation where we use something just because it can, just because they can, but that wasn't their purpose. And so, unfortunately, we abused it. And you best not walk out the house with the silverware. There's something about the sound of going into the wrong drawer that they heard it through the house. Where you going with my good utensil? I know you're not. Granddad told me to bring him a spoon because he got to tighten the drum on the brake. I tell you, granddad is going to buy him a tool for that. Because He's not going to abuse. He's not going to tear up my good utensils. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been damaged in life because people have used them not because they wasn't unusable, but it wasn't their purpose. So a lot of times our burnout, our spiritual burnouts happen because we are operating in an area, but it wasn't our purpose. Let me get back on topic. Let me get back on what I'm talking about. And so number five is if you want to know the purpose of a thing, because sometimes we don't know our purpose for living. I shared this with you before, but let me reiterate this. Part of my purpose or the mission that God has given me is this, and I've been ministering it for a very long time, even when I was just a children. I believe that a person must know who they are. A person must know whose they are, and they must know their own purpose. And I believe these three questions, each of us must look inwardly, deeply, and begin to identify and clarify all three questions, who you are, whose you are, and your purpose. But, Brother Preacher, on that third one, if you don't know your purpose, then what? Well, it's kind of clear. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you don't ask the thing. And many times, what we do, hear me real well, we a thing, you a thing. I'm a thing, you a thing, he's a thing, she a thing in this scenario. I don't understand what kind of thing I am. So I look at you, another thing, and say, what do you think I am? Who do you think I am? And so I ask another thing about a thing called me. And sometimes we even ask ourselves, thing, what are you? And so we're searching for identity in the wrong area of searching. We're listening to other things that have identity issues themselves, trying to clarify or verify our very own identity. But once again, if you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing. Why? Well, that goes to my sixth point, is purpose is only found in the mind of the maker. Wow. Purpose is only found in the mind of the maker. Can you imagine when they made the first airplane, as the drawing came across, people were trying to figure out, what is that? What's this drawing? What's it going to do? How are you going to do that? Questions on top of questions. But in the mind of the maker, they said, I believe man can escape gravity if he applies
a different principle. As I studied the birds, I realized that the birds come down and they walk on the ground like you and I. But when the birds begin to flap their wings, when the birds open up their wings, they operate on another principle that allows them to defy gravity. So instead of being pinned down to the ground, they're now able to get up off the ground until a period of time where they come back down to the ground. So if I want to understand me, because you didn't make me, you didn't create me, I must look at my maker. Brother Preacher, that sounds real good, but what about those who think that that statement refers to their parents? Because after all, aren't we all a product of our mother and father, regardless of who they are? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So when I'm trying to understand my makeup, why am I like this? Why am I born with this color skin? Why am I born in this statue? Why am I born with this defect? Why am I born with this type of aggression? Well, if I take a moment and search my DNA, I will begin to find out there's certain things about me that had nothing to do with what I desire, but everything to do with what was passed down to me. So if I have an anger issue, it could be because my mother, my father had anger issues, and they did not get the help they needed. So inherently, I adopted those things, or I grew into those things unaware. They say abuse people moves people. That means if you was abused, unless you learn something different, many times your behavior will be that of one that become an abuser yourself, unless you have a different mindset positing to you that will change your thinking, your understanding, your purpose. Purpose can change. Purpose can develop. Oh, yeah. A tree in the forest. It was planted for shade, not necessarily for fruit. But somebody saw that tree and said, that'll be some good writing paper. Somebody heard paper say that could be some good toilet paper. Somebody heard about the tree. Said, actually, if you look at the grain, that'll make a wonderful table. Somebody said, if you're going to make a table, might as well make some chairs. See, purpose can be defined, but it must be defined in the mind of the maker. All of us was born into this world with a purpose. But the problem is, for the most part, many of us don't understand Matthew 6 and 33, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. so that things will be added. What things? The things I need to live, to fulfill my purpose, to have purpose and meaning in this current existence. And so we begin to look at others, and we begin to mimic what we see. That's why our world today is in trouble, because social media has some crazy stuff out there now that people are doing this and that, and it seems like they're getting popularity. It seems like they're getting things. And because I'm a thing that want other things, and I don't understand the importance of me as a thing, I want things because I want importance, but I think importance is something I must wear. So I spend all of my money trying to buy the next fashion to prove I'm somebody. I spend money on shoes. I wait in line to get shoes I can't afford so that I can prove I'm somebody. I got a $2 raise, and I went and got a loan for a vehicle that I truly couldn't afford, but I need to fake it till I make it. I need to show that I'm somebody. And because I still don't know who I am, I'm searching and searching and searching. So I do things that I think others are doing. And I think that they are important. And I never search within myself to find the good that he placed in me. Count the unique quality that he gave to me. And so I spend my life running here and running there, trying to be this and trying to be that, instead of embracing the Maker. Would have stated to me my meaning of existence. And I listen to others who criticize me from or because of who my mother or father was. And many people now are dealing with identity crisis because somebody said, your daddy was no good. And you remind me of your father, and you're just like him, and all they heard was no good, and they're broken inwardly because purpose has been stripped from them. One of the saddest things that has ever happened in my life, and I call it sad because as God gave me to know who you are, whose you are, and your purpose, I gave that to my young children, my 9 or 12-year-old, and it was so devastating, the response that we got back from some of them, that I had to take it to the group, and we had to sit down, and we prayed because we were so amazed that many kids at a young age were thought that they wanted to go to hell because they didn't understand that they was a unique creature created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God, but they thought negative about who they were and their purpose in this world. And today we are still dealing with issues of trying to find out who we are. And this generation is trying their best, but they have not turned to the Maker. And because they have not turned to the Maker, they're looking in the wrong place. And so the answers that they're getting is wrong, because their understanding is a misunderstanding. You cannot be born a male and then one day wake up thinking you're a female. That is not the purpose of a thing. That is not the transformation that God wants
us to have. The transformation that God wants us to have is the one that's inwardly to our hearts and minds. And that's why the message of salvation is one of repentance. And repentance is not doing something again, but it's changing the way you understand. It's changing how you process your inner thoughts. So rethink how you've been thinking. Rethink what you've been thinking. But how are we to do that, preacher? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And to have the mind of Christ is to understand that the Father above loves us. And the Father above has a plan for our lives. You heard me say it before, but I said it again. He said, I know my thoughts towards you, declares the Lord, of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And what we got to understand is there's a plan for our life. Because he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That means before your mama and daddy got together and hooked up, whether they did it legally or illegally, whether they did it right or unright, however they came about, God said, this seed is going to enter into the world, and I got a plan for their life, and it is to bring glory to my name.
Yes, sir. Come on, Pastor. Come on.
And I can do it my way. And I know we're troubled today, but it's because we keep looking to the thing that was made and not the thing or the woman, the maker, him who made all things. I like John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. My God, help the day. I'm getting off. I done got a little too emotional.
That's all right.
Glory to God.
That's all right.
Glory to God. John began to talk to the people. John said, y'all don't understand what this thing really is about, but let me break it down to you. And you may have this degree and that degree, but before you understand anything else, I just want you to know in the beginning of all beginnings, he was already here, him being the Word. So in the beginning was the Word. And the Word that was in the beginning, that's what he's trying to get us to understanding. The beginning, our time and existence had a beginning, but there was no beginning before him because he was here to begin the beginning. Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word that was here in the beginning was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. Him who? Him who was in the beginning, him who is the Word, him who is with God. That's your triune being. Glory to his name. All things, not some things, all things was made by him. And without him was not anything. Nothing, no one, nothing made that was made. What we have to understand, wisdom starts with the understanding. I
have a maker. I'm not some accident formed by some slime. I'm not a product of something that happened called the Big Bang Theory. No, the Big Bang was, he said, let there be, boom, and there was. But it didn't happen because something else was already existed, something that formulated and formulated and formulated and kept changing and kept changing and kept changing and kept changing until one day animals begin to walk on land and fish begin to walk on land and animals begin to walk upright and then all of a sudden I'm here. No! My serenity understands that God purpose my existence. The peace of God comes from me understanding that I am not an accident, even if I'm a child of molestational rape. God has a purpose for my life. And it doesn't matter what side of the track I was born on. It don't matter whether I was born with a silver spoon or a wooden spoon or no spoon. All that matters is he allowed me to exist. And my existence has purpose. I may not be able to jump as high as you. I may not be able to run as fast as you, QC. I may not be able to talk like you talk. But whatever I am because he designed me in his image. Yeah, you may talk about my statue. You may talk about the condition of how I look, but I'm still in his image. I'm still after his likeness. I am a unique being created by an almighty being who wanted a reflection of his glory. And just like I can look in the mirror when I dress, put my clothes on, comb or brush my hair, brush my teeth, put on lotion, my cologne, just like I get dressed and I look in the mirror and I see myself and say, self, you look good. Okay, boy, go ahead, do your thing. When I go to the maker and find out who I am and begin to modern myself like him, pattern myself after him, he now can say, there I am, just like a father, proud father, when he see his sons do certain things and say certain things and walk certain ways, he begin to say, there I am. We serve a God of purpose. Now I got to slow down, go all the way back to my notes now. I got too happy. Ran the path of my message. Glory to God. But I'm excited about what
right.
God is doing. So number one, God is a God of purpose. Number two, everything that was created with a purpose. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose. When you go back to Genesis, he began to put everything in line. Everything thing according to its own kind. And when he finished, he looked at it and said, it's good. One thing about our life is we need to do some stuff on purpose. And when we do it, we need to be able to look back at the finished work, not incomplete work, not half done work, and look at our hands, our doing, and say, it's good. It's good. You don't wash dishes and still leave food on the plates and in between the prongs of the fork. No. I don't know where you come from, but my mother, if you did something like that and you went to bed, you will be woken by an unusual feeling. And that feeling will be in the area of what's called pain. It will be the byproduct of her swinging a belt.
Amen.
They're telling you to get yourself up, get back up in there.
Watch those dishes right.
That one dish is thrown by all the dishes, even the ones you may have gotten right. All the dishes now is back in the sink because we was taught if you're going to do something, do it right.
Do it right.
Amen.
So it must be done on purpose. Many of us as believers, we are living this Christian journey not on purpose. We say now we're just waiting to go to heaven. When we talk about being saved, we say, well, you know, by and by, you know, we're gonna rejoice in heaven when we get in heaven. We ain't gonna have to work no more. We ain't gonna do You have a misunderstanding of what heaven is all about. You have a misunderstanding of the purpose of going to heaven. God did not make anything without a purpose. God did not give us free will and a brain for us to do nothing. We have a misunderstanding. We have a misunderstanding that God created us in his image. And for the growth of the world, he made the man species. He made two unique beings from the creature he called man, male and female. And he gave both their own purpose. Lord, have mercy. So, Proverbs 16:4, and the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked of the day of trouble. In other words, there's a purpose for the storm. I know we don't want to hear it. I know we don't like it. Just last week, down in Florida and Georgia, they had to prepare for that storm that came in and tore up a whole lot of stuff, flooded a lot of stuff, and it done a lot of damage. But guess what? It had a purpose. And in this message, my purpose is not to tell you why that purpose was, but just to let you know it was on purpose. It had a purpose. And every day of trouble also have a purpose. I know we don't like it, but this is not eternal.
if this is not the eternal earth and the eternal heaven. All of this shall pass away. So trouble will come. And when it comes, it has a purpose. This is known. Here's where serenity really kicks in. It don't bother me no more because I don't understand why something happened. If I did what I'm supposed to have done, it's not for me to worry any further than that. And that's where we have to discipline ourselves. That's where we have to grow. That's why the serenity prayer is so important. I need to know what could I have changed. And if it was nothing for me to change, then I need the wisdom. I need the wisdom to know that so that I don't spend time trying to change something that's not changeable. This does not mean, people, that we give up on people. But there is a time where the Bible has told us when someone don't accept the word of truth, talking about the gospel, and they reject it. As we leave the park, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. It does tell us, don't cast our pearls before swines. That means some things are not beneficial for us to interact with. Someone only wants to argue whether or not the Bible is real, and they're not trying to understand that it is. That may not be the place for you because, number one, you may not have the knowledge or the skills to prove it. So for you, that will be a waste of your time when you could be doing something else more productive in your life. Because, let's be honest, there's nothing worse than me to dedicate my time, hour with you, when I have another agenda that I could be doing. But because I thought you were worth it, spend an hour with you debating and arguing, and you still leave with the same disposition or worse. And not only do you leave with the same, but you press upon me so much heaviness that I'm more aggravated now than I was in the beginning. You wasted my time. Well, brother, let me change the scenario. Nothing worse for you to take your vehicle to a qualified, certified automobile shop and for them to hold your vehicle 2-3 days, a week. And then when you get your vehicle back, not only is the problem that you took it there for not fixed, but you discover there's another problem, and they still charge you. Not only have you taken my money, and you wasted my time, I feel that you have robbed me. You may not have a shotgun or a pistol, but you have robbed me for something I cannot get back, and that is time. And even if you can refund me my money, I still can't get my time back. And so ultimately, the worst situation any of us can experience is the waste of time. But that's how we feel when people do us that way. I can only wonder. I can't even imagine. I can only wonder how God must feel when he put all that knowledge in us, information in us, and we still sit on our do nothing,
We ask for more anointing. We ask for more Holy Spirit. And he gives us all of that. And we still lead nobody to Christ, tell nobody about Christ. We still don't move. Come on back, Pastor. Get back to you today. Get back to you today. Y'all still, Pastor Bonnie, today. Lord, help today. So not every purpose is known. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. It says, and to make all men see, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Reason why people ain't understand, the reason why people are not understanding some things, is because they're looking for the God's answer, but they ain't looking, they're not looking towards God. I'm going to say it again. They're looking for a godly answer. They're looking for a answer, a right answer, but they're not looking at the righteousness that comes from he who is right, he who knows all things. So they're trying to clarify and identify, and they're trying to make, they're trying to twist and hermeneutic this and hermeneutic that. In other words, they're trying to interpret what God has plainly said. But when they interpret it, it is different from what he said, and they're still wondering what's going wrong. So you ain't said what he said. Why? Because you try to talk about him from them instead of looking in him and see what he has to say. You know, those hearsays, you know, and man, I heard you said this about me. I heard you said that about me. But Doc, did you ask me what I said about you? Do I not have a mouth? Can I not speak? If you want to know what I said, just ask me. But we won't go to God. So there are things that's hid in God, not hid that he's holding them back from us, but they're hid because we haven't gone to him to receive them. My children want some money to go buy them a popsicle because the ice cream truck is coming. My money is in my pocket. But just because they looking at the ice cream truck and looking in my direction don't mean nothing. They ain't open up their mouth. They ain't say, Daddy, give me some money so I can get me a popsicle from the ice cream truck. They say, ooh, I wish I had some money. Oh, I wish you did too. Oh, y'all don't like that, but that's all right. Some things in God we have to ask. Brother Preacher, that ain't right. Well, the Bible says, the Bible, not me, the Bible says, we have not because we ask not. But that's what it say. You ain't got to like it, but that's what it say anyway. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. Hid in God from when? The beginning. So God has got a purpose, and he has planned for us from the beginning. Been hid in God, who created all things by Christ, not through Christ. That's a misinterpretation from a false interpretation of the word. It's by Christ or through Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? The Word. Yeshua, the Word. to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. And so those of you that think church is not relevant and it ain't needed, pay attention to verse 10. Because this is where they are. The manifold wisdom of God. I mean, there's some things that you're not going to get because you don't want to go to church. There's some things in God that you can't get without being involved in the moving of God's house. If you're not working with the team, think you're going to benefit from the team. Keep on going. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose. What kind of purpose? Eternal purpose, which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. Said a lot right there. So wealth is not known. Abuse is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. I'm going to read this from the New King James. He says, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge because you have, hear me, rejected. So if you're ignoring what the Bible has to say, if you won't read and it's available to you, you have a Bible at your house, you have a Bible on your phone, you have a Bible on your tablet, and you won't open it up to see what God is saying, brother, sister, you are rejecting. And if you reject the truth, here's what he says. My people, who people? What kind of people? God's people. Who are God's people? Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have received the blood shed of Christ for the atonement of their sin. They're now living a life that they have surrendered to Christ. That's the exchange. That's what we must do. Surrender, surrender. I surrender all. And there's a song that the church used to sing so that we knew without a doubt that it was our surrendering. God is not trying to take your life. He wants you to surrender because Christ surrendered himself. The Bible said he became subject to the death of the cross. He surrendered. He did freely. And we are to do the same. Chapter 4, verse 6, my New Testament, New King James Version of the Bible says, my people are destroyed from the like, from lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. They don't say no knowledge. So you may know a little something, but you don't know enough. That's why we're to ever be learning, growing, and developing. Because sometimes that which we know today, let 5 years go by and we don't use it. We forget it. That's why some professions have what's called refresher courses, so that the things that they don't often have to use can be brought back to their remembrance. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Knowledge is information. because you have rejected knowledge. Okay, this is a statement. Because, that means something we're doing. Because you rejected knowledge, you rejected the information, I also will reject you. I'm going to have to read this and close. My time is gone. My time is gone. I told you I wasn't going to finish. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, comma, I also will reject you from being priest for me. God said, you don't reject the knowledge, so I'm gonna reject you for speaking for me. You're not gonna be able to stand in the gap because you won't study the word. You won't get into the word. You won't seek me, the word. So you're rejecting me. That's what he's saying now. Then it goes on, but it's not done. He said, I will reject you from being priest for me. Because, and this is why he rejected, because you have forgotten the law of not a God, your God. We're in the time where God has placed his laws in our hearts. Joel said that in the latter days, you should pour out his spirit into your sons and your daughters. So God has poured his spirit out into us. That means his law, his word, his will is poured out into us. We know when we offend God. We know when we do wrong. Conviction comes instantly, comes right away. But the conviction, it's not for condemnation, it's for correction, that we will correct our actions. But we reject it. And he said, because you rejected me. Now listen to the rest of it. Not only have he rejected us from being priests, but you have forgotten the law of your God. Now he make a statement. Also will forget your children. Whoa, wait a minute, God. My actions gonna wear off on my children? Yes, because if you don't act godly, your children ain't gonna act godly.
Amen.
And so the world you live in will be ungodly because you don't carry my law. You won't carry my word. You have forgotten me. You have overlooked me. You won't turn to me. You won't lean on me. You want to lean on your own understanding. You want to direct your own ways. You want to come up with your own statutes. Well, then let your children have to deal with what you did.
Oh, I got to stop. 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 I want to thank y'all for listening to this preacher today. I got a little happy. I apologize that I got a little too happy. Amen. But I meant everything I said. I said everything God meant for me to say. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I encourage you, I admonish you to receive him. Amen. To receive him as your personal Lord and Savior is simple. All you have to do is believe, number one, that he died on the cross for the sins of humanity. That means it covers not only me, the preacher, but it covers you. It was for all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you acknowledge that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior, and you ask Jesus to save you, to come into your heart, purify you, and you accept that, and you confess it with your mouth, and you believe it with your heart, according to Romans 10:9-10, you will be saved. I love you with the love of Christ. God bless you.
I surrender the mic over to those that's in charge. I am complete.
Amen. We'll be back with remarks after this. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Amen. Less than 1 minute.
You just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Amen. We need to do the Bloodhound of Scripture.
All right, let's get ready for the Bloodhound of Scripture. Bloodhound of Scripture.
Amen, amen.
I think Missionary again needs his coffee there, Six.
Amen. Well, I pray. Before Missionary King comes with that scripture, the Bloodhound of Scripture, I really pray that those of you that heard today heard something that would stick with you, whether it was the verse, whether it was the call of understanding your purpose. Whatever it is, hold on to it. Resound it, re-gift it, give it to someone freely. You received it free, give it free. Give it from your heart in the hopes that someone will have it and be made better by it and allow it to better you wherever you are. And better don't have to be a large margin. If you if you was worth 75 cents today, you're like, I ain't worth a dollar, but you're worth 75 cents. If this you heard today, it added a dime to you, you're now worth 85 cents. You're closer to that dollar than you was yesterday. So be happy with that. Don't look at the other 15% that's not there. Be happy with the 10 that came and added to you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Wolfgang, are you there?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
We're ready for the bloodhound.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do want to first say that all the message was good. I mean, today, the whole thing was good. I was listening while I was working in my shop. So, I mean, the whole message was good. But can't say there was anything in specific, but definitely having purpose, awesome. All right, so here's our bloodhound of scripture for you all. Let's see who's got it. Maybe six today.
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
Do you notice? The word of God says, if any man, doesn't matter who you are, man or woman, if you take away from God's word, there's a consequence. There is a consequence. For example, where it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if a man desired the office of a bishop, but then they say, well, that better translated mankind. So a woman could be a pastor. You're taking away from God's word. Because God said, man, he desireth the good work. He must be blameless, the husband of one wife. You can't be the husband of one wife and be a woman. So kind of hard, I would say. So you're taking away from God's word. Because you'd have to take that out. You'd have to take out husband of one wife if you're going to be a woman pastor. So you're taking away from God's word. And God says there's a consequence. And let's find out what that is as we read this verse once again.
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
And did you hear the consequence? Ouch! He says he's going to take away your part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city. It means you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. To hell. You just condemned yourself. God didn't condemn you there. You condemned yourself by taking out of God's word. You made that choice because God showed you right here. This is the consequence. Mess with his word. You go to hell. So, we'll hear that verse one last time for our listeners' sake.
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
All right. Who knows what that is? Six, do you know?
I got it.
Okay.
Revelation 22 and 19.
That is correct. Revelation 22 and 19.
Good job.
Well, Six didn't get it this time. Well, we'll see what he does with this one for next week. Maybe he could get it for one time. We're hoping Six will get it at least once. So here's the one you got to sniff out by next week, Six. So be paying attention. Here it is.
For dogs have compassed me. They assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet.
You notice it says dogs have compassed me and the assembly of the wicked have compassed me. And we'll hear that verse one more time.
For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet.
And not only have the assembly enclosed me, but you notice how it ends. It says, they pierced his hands and his feet. We know that it's talking about Jesus Christ. And we'll hear that verse one last time for our listeners' sake.
For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet.
And that is what you gotta sniff out by next week. So see if you can find it, Six. It's on you. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me, and Pastor Bonnet, I thought that the message today was excellent, and I'm going to go back and go through it again because there was a lot in there that I received and I appreciated, you know, understanding the purpose of God and the breakdown of the serenity prayer was great. There was a lot in there talking about the purpose and that we were made in God's image. It reminded me of when I was in high school, and I can't remember if it was my, I think it was my social studies class, where the teacher was trying to give us Darwin's theory and trying to say that, you know, we derived from the apes. And I got in trouble because I kind of got in an argument with the teacher. No, you're not going to tell me that. That's not what God said. And so I went there in on the teacher because you're not going to feed me and tell me that we came from apes when all my life, my parents, my grandparents, you know, we went to church, we got into that Bible, we was taught.
That's right.
That we were made in God's image.
But why did they tell us we were made in apes? Why did they tell us that?
Darwin's theory
was trying to prove that God did not exist. And so he was trying to prove that God did not exist, and his theory was dealing with time. If you can prove stuff happened over a period of time, number one, there's no one that can go and refute it because none of us was there. So it was he did not want to be a follower of God or Jesus Christ. So it was all in an attempt to disprove who God is.
Okay. Amen. And please continue to keep Shirley Caesar in your prayers. Continue to keep her in your prayers. She's still fighting. She's still with us. So keep Shirley Caesar in your prayers. Amen.
I didn't know she was ill. That must have just happened.
Yeah, well, she's been ill for a little while. So she's still hanging in there.
Oh, okay.
She's from my hometown.
And they were just celebrating her. Okay. Definitely would keep her in prayer.
I wanna play a song that my friend wrote. I want y'all to tell me what you think.
Well, okay. Ken, before you do that, was there anybody else that had a takeaway? And just make it quick, and then we also want to get in any prayer requests and just add me on that list.
My takeaway, I never knew the Serenity Prayer. I thought that was all the Serenity Prayer. So I was fascinated to know that there was more to that. Because for years, they always stopped right there.
Right.
So, yeah.
I thought that would go over well on this platform to share that, something all of us have heard of so many times, even though it's the Serenity Prayer itself is not something that is found word by word in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but it is something that the Christian community can take too, as we add other scriptures to support that teaching, because
right.
it says in all your giving get understanding, and so a lot of times we get stuff but we don't have the understanding, and so so having the right understanding in anything will give you peace about it, you know, even if you disagree with it, at least you have a clarity about it. And so the Serenity Prayer is just a mighty thing of encouraging how to encourage yourself, because that'd be truthful. There's a lot of things that happen to us that we can't change. I mean, I'm quite sure if this is not trying to single you all out, but I'm singling you out. I'm quite sure that if you had a choice, you or Missionary Ken had a choice of seeing 2020 or keeping your sight as it is, you would pick the 2020.
Absolutely.
I'm quite sure.
Absolutely.
Without fail, you know.
Without question.
And even if it was just in one eye, you would choose it. But that choice is not on the table. So for you to choose that and it's not on the table, it will spend time in your mind, your heart, your hope, and you will spend years and time wishing and hoping on something that's not on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to Burger King and saying, I want a Big Mac. That ain't gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you can't go to McDonald's and say, listen, I want a Whopper and I want it off the grill. Off the broiler. They're going to say, what broiler? We don't have a broiler.
Yeah, can't have it your way.
So the Serenity Prayer brings us to reality.
Yeah.
It makes us face even the hardness. My testimony today was I did not want to fall off a ladder. I did not go on my business with the intent of damaging myself, almost killing myself. I did not have the intention of doing none of that, you know. I fell and thought I was going to bounce back, you know. Once I stood up, you know, I thought everything was going to be all right. I didn't know that I damaged my arm in such a way I couldn't use it. It's not my intent. But guess what? Mm-hmm. I know that there's recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's 100% recovery, 50% recovery, 10% recovery, I know there's a level of recovery.
Yes.
So
amen.
I strive daily to improve my mobility in that single arm. And so I have to have courage not to give up. because I can't use it the way I used to. I have to have courage to trust the exercise is helping. And I can't just say, oh, ain't nothing I can do no more, and give up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When there is an opportunity, see, there's a difference. There's something on the table, so I have an opportunity. And so, you know, serenity is understanding that difference and having that peace, that calmness. You know, I'd never forget my sister and I was in a single car accident. We hydroplaned. Was rainstorming real bad, and we hydroplaned. And when we hydroplaned, the car went into tailspin. It went on spin because as the rear traction hit the ground, it spun the car. And I can remember reaching my right arm over to her because she was in the passenger seat, and it was just me and her in the vehicle. And I had a calmness on me that everything was going to be all right because I trusted the Lord. And I reached over to her. It's going to be all right. We spinning. The car's spinning. We go into the medium and would across to the other side, but there's a guardrail there that keeps us from going into the oncoming traffic. And we come out the spin, and I almost came out the ditch. If it wasn't for it being so sloppy, soggy wet, we would have came all the way out. But we was in there, but we was unharmed. The few scratches on the from when it hit the guardrail, that it didn't tear the guardrail up, but, you know. But there was a calmness to know that God is with us, and although this is something happening now, that we're in a uncontrolled spin, God is with us. And so, man, to have the peace of God, it really provides us a level of true security, regardless of what we're facing. That makes the difference. That makes the difference. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking of the stuff that God promised that haven't came to pass yet. So I know, look, it ain't over yet. When I failed, that thought came to my mind too. So I knew it wasn't going to be over just yet. So we need that serenity. We need to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for all of our lives. And whatever that means, wherever we are, we have to trust the plan of God. That's primary. So we got to trust the plan of God. And so this month of education, we got to understand, you know, when we went to school, elementary school, not one of us, maybe it might be somebody, I don't know, but not one of us questioned the teacher, where you went to school at. What kind of education you got? Are you qualified to teach me? Are you qualified to teach me my ABCs? Is this the right language? We didn't. We trust the process. And now today we can read and write because we trust the process. And that was something practical. But when it comes down to things that are kingdom-minded, biblical, or godly, oftentimes we abort the process. And we got to understand that just like there's a natural thing that takes place, there are spiritual things that take place as well. And we have to trust the wisdom of God, the power of God, that those things will come to pass as he stated. And so we must be educated on that. So, but anyway,
amen. Yeah.
So.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to say hello to everybody that's listening right now, that's going to listen later on to the broadcast. You can share this. You can share this on your page. If you can share gossip, if you can share crazy videos, you can share the Six Eyes Gospel Show broadcast in case somebody missed it. I want everybody to have this on your before the day is over with. All right. We're here every Sunday, 12 Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific, where you get your praise on without leaving the house, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Put this number in your phone, 424-243-9617, and please join JOIN, the Six Eyes Radio Network group. Join the Six Eyes Radio Network group. And also, you can like us on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcasts that you share by typing in Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. And how's First Lady doing?
I solicit you all prayer. She's in the hospital right now. And we're just praying for her well-being.
Yes.
Her healthy and speedy recovery. There's some other things that's going on, but we're just going to keep trusting God's plan for her life. It will eventually it will get better.
Absolutely.
So,
and we just want to keep First Lady in prayer. God's a healer. He can turn it around. So just praying for a speedy recovery for her, giving her calmness as she recovers. As always, I like to pray for mankind. That's the world, all the ills of the world. My family, my friends, my fans, your fans, and myself, for increase and just overall prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
How you doing, Sister Emily? How's everything today?
I'll just say right now I've got one thumb up and a pinky.
Well, at least the pinky got up there, you know. That's the sophisticated people got their pinky up. So, you know, you're sophisticated.
It ain't on the same hand, Pastor Bonnet.
Yeah, that's your. It's on your cup hand, you know, right? Instead of you sipping tea, you sipping coffee, you know, with your pinky thumb out. With your pinky up, your thumb up, and your pinky out. That's you sipping your coffee like you do your tea.
earlier, when I said I had one thumb up and one down, I guess that might have been before you popped on. All I'm going to do is say that to ask the listeners, just be keeping me in prayer because I've got some things going on that I don't want to go into on the air.
Amen.
Congratulations on the little bundle of joy. Congratulations. Amen.
Amen. Well, definitely keep you in prayer. And we just ask, Father God, right now, even all of those that have prayer requests, Lord God, God, we know that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. And, Lord God, sometimes we pray one way, but your desire for us is another. So, God, we just pray your will be done in our lives because we know that you desire better for us than we desire for ourselves. We desire things, but you desire us. And so, God, we give ourselves to you that you will have your way in us and through us. We love you. We thank you for a brand new day full of brand new mercies and grace. We thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do. Now we ask for the spirit of patience that we will wait on change to come in our lives. We ask for your spirit of encouragement that we will be like David. We'll be able to encourage ourselves in you. Lord God, that things that we're going after, that we should recover and recover all. So we thank you, Father God. We know that you could do all things but fail. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, we believe, and receive all the many blessings that you have bestowed for us. We love you, Father God. Thank you for teaching us how to love you and how to love others, and that you continue to work on us. Thank you again. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you don't mind, just keep me in prayer this week. I have fallen twice this week, and this knee is really giving me a lot of challenges, but I'm not giving up. I just have to be careful. It gives out on me at any given time, and there's a lot of pain with it still. So, unfortunately, trying to get my body to where it needs to be so I can get a total knee replacement. I have arthritis in both knees, but this left knee is I'm holding myself up with all my weight on my walker, just transferring with my arms and shoulders. So they are very sore. So just keep me in prayer because this knee is no joke.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Have you looked into, can I ask a quick question? And this is something that we have to be mindful of. A lot of times our knee pain and our back pain comes from our footwear because we may have other underlying health issues. But I do know that sometimes our footwear adds to our discomfort. And so sometimes we have to make sure that we have the correct walking shoes for us because some people, they arch collapse, their flat foot, different things of that nature, different things that goes on with your foot. And by not having the right footwear, we can add to our pain. Many times for me, when my knee goes just out the blue guard and giving me certain problems, it's usually because even if I have on the right shoes, if I don't string them up so that the tightness is across the bridge of my foot, I can tell when my shoelaces are too loose for the activity that I'm in. Doing at the time, and so I would go to tighten that shoestring up, and it will almost in a few minutes correct itself just by even I have the right shoes on just by tightening my shoelaces. So I know that many times some of our pain comes from not having the proper footwear, or you know, and so sometimes we develop bad walking habits.
Let me stop you right there.
Most of us don't walk heel to toe, you know, we don't use our whole foot to walk. We walk different. So it causes different pain throughout our body. And it can get worse, like you say, with arthritis and all that. But that was just a question on that.
No, it's not that. I have worn my knee. I injured this knee initially in high school in track. I have no cartilage in between this knee. I have bone rubbing up against bone. And this knee has been a problem for many, many years. So it's not that. I need total knee replacement. And I have the things that to put in my shoe for my podiatrist. I have those in my shoes, so it's not even that. Plus, I'm not walking. I'm in a wheelchair. So mainly when I get up to transfer is when I have a problem.
Because that bone, bone.
Yeah, it is completely worn out. And 3 weeks ago when I had the knee injections is when I re-injured this knee. Because on the way back from the appointment, my driver had to stop on brakes where my seatbelt wasn't secured like it should have been. Partially my fault, I guess you can say. So when she had to stop, I slid out of the wheelchair and my leg got pent up under me. So it's been in a lot of pain. I had to call the paramedics to help me get up. It was just It's not between my knee and my left ankle. So this is the knee, which still has a broken bone in it from when I broke it back in November, in my left ankle, so on the same side. So I'm having a lot of pain. I'm trying. I try not to cry every day because it is hurting, but and just continue to do stuff, but I have to take my time with getting up. I can't just jump up and keep going. I have to remind myself, okay, you need to rest. You need to try to elevate this leg because I'm a busybody, and I admit that. I don't like to sit still. I don't like to be cooped up in the house. I got to go. I got to get out. I love fresh air, you know. So it's hard for me to not be busy. I'm always doing something. So I try to continue to learn.
That's good for you.
Yeah, but it's giving me the dark blues. It's beyond the blues. It's giving me the dark blues because it hurts from the knee down to my ankle, and sometimes it feels like it gets numb. So I keep trying to move it. I keep rotating my ankles and stuff. So that's where I am with that, and I'm complete.
Amen. Well, we know what needs to take place. So we just pray that everything work in that direction to help your quality of life. I still believe in miracles because I'm a miracle myself. I just believe in miracles. I've injured myself, and I'm a product of God healing me when they wanted to do surgery, and I didn't do the surgery, but God still touched my body. I believe God is able to do all things but fail. And however He blessed me, whether He blessed me through the doctor hand or His divine hand, or He teach me what to do with my own hands, I'm gonna be thankful and do my best to walk in the direction He's given me for my health.
Amen. We're going to allow Six to go ahead and play this song that he is itching to play before Blog Talk cuts us off.
Amen.
And if we have a moment to talk after that, we can continue.
Brother Six.
Yes.
I think I'm gonna have to send you a back scratcher. Because this itching, I mean, just, you know, we'll send you a back scratcher.
You
might be able to reach it. That's the problem, you know. So we're going to send that reacher to you.
Thank you.
So you can reach these itches. I'm complete.
Here we go.
You playing it? Okay, you go.
God bless. Catch you all next Sunday. You just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
You don't stop. There's a
Y'all take care.
Oh, man. All right. Bye for now. See y'all tomorrow.
All right.